Verdugo back to the pin. He caught it. He took it back.
He's doing everything right now.
That ball is gone. What a bullet by Devers.
I love to see the exit velocity on that one.
Hello and welcome to the TC and Jerry podcast. Tom Caron along with Jerry Remy. Spring training is getting started. Pitchers and catchers are reporting to JetBlue Park in Florida, and Jerry and I are exactly where we've been for the last 12 months. Jerry's at home. I'm actually in the Nesson Studios. I'm in the offices. And so I actually got out and moved around a little bit. But this, man, there's so many places we can go here, Jerry. First of all, how are you?
Doing good. I actually put on my red shirt today because the Red Sox are going to spring training. So, you know, that's something a little different this week.
Baby steps. Yeah, baby. Yeah. I mean, how, you know, Jim Rice told me yesterday, he hadn't really thought about it, and I got him to think about it. He believes it has been 50 years since he didn't go to spring training. His senior year in high school, 1971, was the last time he didn't go to a professional baseball spring training. How about you? Now, you had 1 year between playing and coaching. Did you go to spring training that year?
No, I did not. No, that was the 1 year I had off. I believe this is my 50th year in professional baseball. And I would have to say out of all those years, I've missed 1 year. And that was the year that I took off. The following year, of course, is when I started with Nesson. So yeah, it's been a long time and it feels very strange. You know, you read the paper and, you know, they're going down, they're opening up the 17th. You would already be there, obviously running your show. And, you know, a lot of times I come down around March 1st, but it's kind of like the official end of winter for us, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, I was talking with my wife last night and we say, man, this is bizarre, you know, because usually we were packing and we get all excited about going down for a month and, you know, doing a few games and enjoying some time. And then when you get back, winter's basically over, but not this year. It's going to be totally different. And I got to tell you, TC, you know, we were talking about it before we came on air here. I read that story by Silverman yesterday in the Globe about all the protocols. My goodness, these guys got a lot of stuff to go through. It's going to be really, really tough.
I'll tell you, for me, the last week or two has been really weird because I've done the bean pot for 16 years.
Yeah.
First two Mondays of February, no bean pot this year. My wife and I always have a blowout of a Super Bowl bash because it's kind of our goodbye, right? Like we're heading down to spring training. Yeah. It's in between so like my Februarys have been pretty much exactly the same for 15, 20 years where I did the bean pot. Usually I do the championship of the bean pot on the second Monday, stay at a hotel at Logan and fly out 6 or 7 a.m. to spring training the next day and do a show that night. So first of all, I want to say, I don't know about you, I'm okay not being there. I don't want to make it sound like I'm complaining. I think Nesson has done a really good job saying, listen, all the interviews are going to be Zoom, right? I mean, you're not going to be in the clubhouse. There's very little access. Why put you in the middle of this? There's going to be enough people down there in Florida. And from what I've heard, not a lot of mask wearing going on in Florida.
Right.
No, the bars are jammed, I've heard. The restaurants are crowded. So again, I'm okay not being there. Yeah. It's just weird when you've done the same thing year after year after year. Very weird to suddenly. I'm shoveling the other day and I was like, this is why I like getting out of here in February. I miss this.
You're going to be shoveling every year. A couple of days too.
Yeah. I know, we got a big one coming in. So no, to the protocols.
I'm totally with you on that. I am perfectly fine not being there because, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday. Some of the Red Sox front office personnel had to go down there and, you know, you're on the plane and you imagine how uncomfortable you would be on the plane just going down there. And, you know, I don't know, you know, until I get vaccinated, I'm not sure I'm ready for stuff like that, you know? So I'm very pleased at what we're doing. And as you mentioned, nobody's going to have access, you know, nobody's going to have access. So it doesn't really, the normal routine that I would go through down there, I'm not going to miss anything except maybe introducing myself to some of the new players. Other than that, we're going to get the same thing accomplished by what we're doing and how we're going to be doing it.
A lot of new players too, by the way. 20 of the 40 guys on the 40 man right now are new to the organization. Before we get to that, you know, you mentioned protocols. My concern is it's inevitable that there's going to be positive cases.
Right.
And there's going to be teams that have to shut down.
Right.
We saw it last year during baseball. We've seen, you know, Bruins were supposed to play Monday night. They didn't play, and it wasn't their fault because the other team, right? That's the problem, right? Other teams, we've seen the Celtics. sit around. We've seen college teams sit around for 3-4 weeks at a time, right? Every sport has had this. Football, every sport has had to stop. If it happens at spring training, if you have to lose 7 or 10 days of spring training, now I know spring training's probably longer than it needs to be, so you've probably got just about that much fat, right? You've probably got about 7 days you can lose. I think if you get beyond that, Jerry, teams are going to be at a disadvantage when the season begins. If you have to miss the third week of March, a week and a half before the season, this is going to be a major story going into the start of the season.
Well, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, I still have deep concerns that something could happen like happened last year. You know, where all of a sudden we wake up one day and baseball's been shut down again for a couple of weeks. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be – nobody knows in any sport. Right. You know, these like you said, these other teams don't know if they're playing till they play. And it's going to be the same way down here. There's just too many people around. You know, there's just too many guys. There's too many ways of catching, you know, the virus. And I would certainly anticipate the same thing. They're going to have to be very flexible with the schedules. They're going to have to be, you know, certain teams, if they can stay healthy. And the Red Sox are one of these that really have to, because they got so much on the line to have a complete spring training. They got to figure out where these, you know, pieces of the puzzle fit. They've got to check on guys like Eddie Rodriguez. You know, they've got to know before they go into the season exactly what they've got here. So they're one of the teams that really can't afford a shutdown. They need a full spring training.
Yeah, I want to dig into all of the new names and stuff with you. That's going to be weird. But first, I want to hear from Alex Cora. Alex Cora was on the show Tuesday night, back to work. We're doing our preview show. Same thing we do in Florida, but we're doing it up here. And I started with that, the protocols, the safety issues, how different this is all going to be, and how he keeps his team. Here's what he had to say.
Manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing fine, TC. Good to hang with you again.
We've been doing a lot of that over the last couple of weeks, just like this on Zoom. Listen, you're down there, and we've all been reading the protocols and all of this. There's a lot to dig into here. For players who are used to spring training kind of being loose, right? A time when you talk baseball, you hang around, you go out to dinner. A lot of that is off the table. How challenging will it be for teams to get going under all these new rules?
It is a challenge. It's something that we've been talking about as an organization for a while. We had a meeting with the players early February. We will have one tomorrow, most likely. And it's nonstop communication. For us to pull this off, you know, everybody has to contribute. The way I see it, in a personal level, you know, you have to follow the guidelines and the protocols to take care of your family. If you take care of your family, then you're going to be able to take care of your teammates. If you take care of your teammates, then you're taking care of the organization. So it doesn't matter how you see it, you know, the order, whatever. Priorities are priorities. Take care of yourself. Try to stay healthy. And if you do that, we're going to be in a good position as a team, as an organization.
Alex, we saw it last year. Teams shut down for a week here. We've seen it in football and basketball and hockey and college. But it sort of occurs to me, if there's a shutdown for a team, you know, in mid-late March, right when you're getting ready for the season, like a team that had to get shut down because of some of this would be seriously challenged to be ready to go at the start of the season. So this is really important that the team, every team, right, stays together, follows the rules, and tries to avoid this during spring training.
Yes, and obviously, you know, I wasn't here last year, but from afar and talking to my brother who works for the Pittsburgh Pirates, it's a challenge. There's a lot of obstacles. It's not easy, but, you know, as an industry, they did an outstanding job last year. But with that, we have more challenges now. You know, we got 27, 28 games in spring training. We're in Arizona and Florida. We're planning on traveling all over the nation this year to play 162 games. So if last year was a challenge, this year, I don't know. You come up with a word. I don't know if there's a bigger word than challenge. One thing for sure, we have to keep this as normal as possible. And the only way we can do it, like I said before, if everybody contributes, we're disciplined, we take care of our families, we're going to be in a good spot, and we're going to be able to do that.
All right, 20 of the 40 guys on your 40-man roster are new to the organization. Are you going to have the hello, my name is lapel on everybody's shirt here?
I think we're going to put it right on the mask. You know, we're going to put the name here because, that's a bigger challenge now. I've been able to go to the facility, and there's a few guys that obviously this is the first time I get to know them. I never seen, and it's difficult with the mask, but that's one of the things that we have to do indoors, in the clubhouse, in the office, in the weight room. Everybody have to wear their mask. So I think the hello, my name is Nick Pavetta. We'll make sure they put it in the mask so I know who they are.
We usually go in spring training. I think those of us who watch closely have a pretty good idea what a team's going to be, right? 2018, we thought you'd be really good, and you were really good. Last year, we knew there would be challenges, and there were challenges. I think the range of what this team can be is so big this year because there's a lot of intriguing new guys on this roster. How do you feel about this group when you look at everybody coming to camp here? How do you feel about it right now?
I keep saying we have a good baseball team, and that's good enough for me. We're athletic, we're dynamic, we're versatile. Offensively, defensively, on the mound, and that's good. We're playing in a tough division. We know that. There's a lot of teams in this division that they have red flags, but I'm very comfortable. I feel very happy with the way our offseason has gone. We're not done yet, man. I keep talking about that puzzle, and we will keep working on it. And when the finished product is done, then we can actually say, yeah, we're done. But I don't think we're going to get into that spot yet. Haim and the front office, they keep working on ways to improve the big league team and also our minor league system. And that's very important. We're trying to accomplish both. And I think so far, so good. Haim and the group has done an amazing job to put us in this situation.
You mentioned versatility. Kike Hernandez, who you certainly know well. Marwin Gonzalez, not official yet, but you're talking about some of the more versatile players in all of baseball. And I know you, of all the managers I've ever dealt with, love that versatility, love to be able to change that rotation of players to maximize the matchups with the pitcher. How excited are you to have guys you can move around as this season goes along?
It's great. You mentioned, Enrique, and this is a guy that he can play second, he can play short, he can play center field, right field, left field, and on a daily basis, he's going to be a plus defender. Regardless of where he plays, Franchi Cordero, he can play left, he can play center, he can play right. Alex can do the same thing. So we're in a good spot. Even Bobby Dalbec, he can play first, third, and, if we need a closer, we might throw him out there too. He throws 95, 96 with a good slider. So one thing for sure, that's good. And with the way the game is going, having players like that, it makes it easier. We've been talking about our roster. Are we going with 12 position players, 14 pitchers, or 13 and 13? And there's a pretty good chance that we go 12 and 14 because we're going to be versatile enough that we're going to be able to do that. And obviously, we have to protect our pitching staff. And right now, that's the main conversation. Obviously, we're going to keep adding players and keep getting better. But if we can accomplish that going into the season, that's going to be good for us, and we're going to be in a good spot to start competing right away.
You talk about protecting the pitchers, and nothing makes a manager look better than a good bullpen. Sawamura announced today this is a guy who's had great success in Japan. Adam Ottavino, I think a lot of people expect him to have a good bounce back year because the career numbers are there, what he's done. They didn't have your two key lefties, Darwin's and Hernandez, Josh Taylor, at the beginning of last year, and maybe they were never really what they should be. How good do you feel about the depth of this bullpen, maybe even compared to what it was in 2019?
We can go to 2018 too. I think, Brazier, Barnes, Ottavino, Sawamura, righties that have great stuff and, they've been there, done that. I do believe Darwinson and Taylor are very important for what we're trying to accomplish. We saw what they did in 2019. I expect them to bounce back and have, you know, big years for us. You know, we have some intriguing arms, and we always talk about versatility, right, with position players. But all of a sudden, you have a sinker cutter guy with the slider. You have Barnsley with the fastball up, breaking ball down. You got Brazier with the fastball up. Salamura with the split finger. Then the two lefties. And I think on a daily basis, we have some capable guys that can give us outs in the last third of the game. It doesn't matter the situation. High leverage situations, I think they're going to be fine. And looking forward to that. You know, getting 27 outs in very creative ways. And we're up to the challenge, but it's easier to say it not knowing that you have capable people. And these guys are ready, you know, they're healthy, and looking forward to work with them during spring training and obviously during the season.
All right, he's Alex Cora. He'll have the "Hello, my name is AC" mask when you see him on Thursday. Alex, good luck with the beginning of everything here. We look forward to talking to you along the way. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, DC. Be well. I'll talk to you.
So again, we'll see how the COVID factor plays out here, Jerry. The pure baseball part of all that, you heard him talk about, half the 40-man roster is new.
Yeah.
And these aren't sure things. This isn't bringing in David Price, Chris Sale, right, when you've got free agents at the top of their game. Really intriguing guys here. And if they all hit on their eye, in fact, I was just looking, FanGraphs came out with their projections today, their odds, and the Red Sox gave them a 47% chance to make the playoffs, so actually better than I expected.
Right.
And that was third in the wild card race. So the first team out, and it was just behind Toronto by like 3 percentage points. So they have them, you know, right on the door of a playoff spot, which I think is a lot better than most New Englanders are giving them credit for right now. You said to me, I think last week you and I were talking, and you said, I've never gone into a spring training where I've known so little about this group. Like the range of what they could be, really good, really bad. 2018, we knew they were going to be really good, and they were excellent. They won a World Series. Last year, we knew they weren't going to be very good, and they were bad.
Right.
I don't know what this team's going to be.
No, you don't. You have no clue right now because there are so many unknowns. And it all starts with the pitching staff, you know, in my opinion, the starting rotation. We don't know what that's going to look like. We've got an idea. We're hopeful that Rodriguez could come back and put in a full season where he's going to be strong all year. But we really don't know that yet. You know, you're looking at guys like Pivetta, you're looking at guys like Garrett Richards, you know, all guys who need complete spring trainings to get into this Red Sox system to figure out what they've got and let them make decisions on whether they're going to be in the starting rotation. You've got a bunch of position players who have been throughout the course of their career, really backup guys, you know, utility players for the most part. Now they're going to get a chance to shine on their own because they're going to become everyday players. And so we got to see how they're able to react on a daily basis playing in that role. It's a little bit different being an everyday guy than a guy that comes in just, you know, a couple, three times a week to do a job. And the Red Sox are loaded with those guys right now. So they're going to have to prove that they're everyday players, and they're going to have to prove to Cora that they're everyday players too. The big thing about it, he's got flexibility. They've all can move around and play different spots. So, you know, that's another thing you mentioned about how important spring training is, you know, how these guys are going to get to go to different positions, show what they can do there, you know, move guys around like Mauen Gonzalez, which I thought was a great signing by the Red Sox, get him in different spots where he can play and let him figure that stuff out. But you're right. There is no way to predict what this club is going to be. And that's what makes it curious for me. And I'm kind of looking towards spring training. I'm a little bit anxious about it because I want to see for myself. I want to see for myself what these guys can bring to the table, what that starting rotation is going to look like. The bullpen seems to be strong. You know, what are these players that came over from other clubs? How are they going to fit in as everyday players, and where are they going to fit in? We're going to see multiple lineups put out there by Cora, I think, and with guys playing in different spots. So, you know, I can't say I'm overly optimistic. I won't go that far. But I will say I am very, very curious on what's going to happen down there.
I was looking it up yesterday, and it surprised even me again. Last year, Nathan Eovaldi was the opening day starter because Erod was out. Okay, and never came back last year. Martin Perez, signed as a number four, number five, was the second day starter.
Right.
Again, two guys who've been around.
Right.
Ryan Weber was day three. Josh Osich was day four. Yeah. Matt Hall was day five.
Yeah, yeah.
And all due respect to those three guys.
We're in a little better shape.
Two legitimate major league starters.
Right.
Out of the first five last year. Now, let's say Evaldi's still opening day because they take the pressure off Erod, right? Now you got Rodriguez as a number two. Huge upgrade over Perez. Again, Perez is good, but, right. You know, we know what Erod is or what he can be. Garrett Richards as a number three. Now, this guy, Tommy John surgery, it's a second full year back. That's usually when guys are strong again.
That's correct.
But before Tommy John, his numbers over a 4.5 year span were with the best starters in the game. This guy was legit. Good velocity, ridiculous spin rate on the curveball. We know, okay, all of that. He's your number three starter, again, versus Ryan Weber last year, right? Let's say Martin Perez is number four versus Josh Osich last year.
Right.
Now Nick Pivetta is probably your number five versus Matt Hall last year. And by the way, Tanner Houck, who was outstanding last year, doesn't even make my rotation to start the season. He's either in the bullpen or in Worcester. Matt Andrees has 50 career major league starts. He's seventh on your depth chart. I mean, you're going to have major league starts. Doesn't mean they're going to be great, but you legitimately didn't have major league starting pitching
right.
for 50, 60% of your starts last year.
Right. And how many times did we do a game where you're behind 5-0 after two innings? It was a joke.
Right.
You know, they were not even competitive in that sense. So, you know, at least you got guys with major league experience. And, you know, you mentioned Richards. You know, he was a very interesting guy back with the Angels. He was. And one of the things that happened to him last year in San Diego is the fact that at the end of the season, he just lost his control. And he couldn't find it. And they were reluctant to put him into games, you know, especially in the playoffs and late in the season. They wouldn't bring him in because he just lost his control. He didn't have any touch and feel on his pitches. So that's something that I'm sure they're going to be focusing on because he's got good stuff. And, you know, that, as you mentioned, that rotation right there, just out of the chute, is much, much better than anything we had a chance to look at all of last year. So, you know, if they can be competitive in games, you know, I think the offense is going to be very good. I say that almost every year, but I really believe that. I think the offense will be very, very good. And I think, you know, if these guys can just keep them in games, they get a chance because I think the bullpen's very strong.
Well, I think and Sarumura, the Japanese pitcher that they just announced, Ottavino, you know, you've got, again, guys being Darwin's and Hernandez, Josh Taylor, you missed them at the beginning of the year. They're never all the way. So I agree with you in the bullpen. Offensively, the guy that I'm really excited to see, good or bad, is going to be Franchi Cordero.
Yeah.
And before we get to him, Benintendi's gone. You were someone who said all along, you never were quite sure if Boston was a good fit for him. And I bet you now that he goes to Kansas City and has a pretty good year. I bet he bounces back.
I think he will. I really do. And I think Kansas City's made for him. You know, I don't think he's a guy that liked the noise, you know, and of course we know that here daily, you got to put up with the noise. And I think he to me has always been the perfect guy that would fit into a Midwest town, you know, like Kansas. Kansas City's perfect. All you do is go and play baseball. You know, the people love you. They never boo. They never, you know, it's not craziness like it is around here. I'll take the craziness any day. I will. I'll take the craziness. But the fact is that you go there just to play baseball. And he made some mistakes. You know, he tried to tinker with his swing. He tried to get that launch angle and all that stuff. And he didn't need it because his swing was so perfect and beautiful. He didn't need to start doing that, you know, and that's just a young guy making a mistake. So now he's going to get back to where he was a couple of years ago by using his swing. And in that big ballpark, he's going to be, you know, he's going to be a gap-to-gap kind of guy, I think, in that park. He'll hit some home runs, you know, but I think he's going to have a really good year out there. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, last time we talked, I said, you know, I'm not really sure they're going to get rid of him. I think they might keep him. But the fact is they did decide to make that move. And but I think it's going to work out very well for him. I really do. I think he's in a perfect spot for him.
Listen, they got five players. And you know, four of them are for the longer term. And we know that. Franchi Cordero is the major leaguer who comes back now. And this guy would hit tape measure shots with San Diego. Yep. Another guy from the Padres, even though he was in Kansas City most recently. Going to be his third team in 7 months. That's never a good sign.
Right.
But you understand, I keep hearing the word tantalizing. Coaches are tantalized by power, speed. He's also struck out like 100 something times and 300 something at bats. Yeah. That's not good. No. But this guy's got all the tools that if he could ever harness it, could be a monster hitter at Fenway Park. But that's a big if.
Well, that's one of those guys we're talking about, you know, anxious to see in spring training, you know, and because there is a lot of upside, obviously, when you have the kind of power that he's got, he lights your eyes up when he hits a home run, you know, so you say, wow, man, if we can see some of that, you know, now the question is, you know, can he keep himself healthy? He's had some freak injuries over the last couple of years that have cost him time. You know, he's probably a very unpolished player at this particular time. He's going to get a chance to polish himself quite nicely in spring training. And, you know, I'm curious to see what he's got too, because, you know, when you see a guy that size that can run the way he can run and the kind of power that he has, he could be an impact player for them in years to come. Now, where he is on the development scale right now, I'm not quite sure. You know, I'll make that decision when I get a chance to see him play over and over again. But, he is an interesting guy because you don't find guys like that very often who are, you know, big and strong and hit home runs and hit him. I think he 2 years ago hit the longest home run in San Diego history, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And you know, to see him run the way that he can run. Now, I don't know what kind of defender he is. I have no idea. You know, we'll find that all out when we watch him play. But, you know, there's upside. You know, there's upside. So it was – you know, when I first read the thing, I said, Francy Cordero. And then I started doing some homework on him. And I got a little information from someone out in San Diego. And, you know, they told me a little bit about him. They say he's a great kid, you know, but he just couldn't keep himself on the field. They couldn't get him in the lineup enough to be able to develop those skills. So he's still in the developmental process right now.
You just pick up Fernando Tatis Jr. and call him and ask about the Padres? Is
that he's on my speed dial. Yeah.
Here's what Chaim Bloom said yesterday. I asked him. He was on the show Monday. Here's what he had to say about that trade and about Cordero.
Chaim, how are you?
Doing okay. I'm in the middle of a quarantine after taking our intake test. Excuse me. We got to wait for our results, and then, assuming a negative result, get to go to the park in a couple days.
You know, I know you're never done, and there's always deals that can pop up, but as you sit here on the eve of pitchers and catchers reporting and you go back to last fall, how good do you feel about what you accomplished as far as your offseason goals were at the beginning of the offseason?
Well, you're right that, you know, this is never something where you are done, and you always feel like you can do more, that you can be better. But I think looking back at what we've done since that time, I think everything we've done has stayed faithful with the goals that we had for this offseason. And I think we've been able to do quite a few things. You know, we've added, half a dozen free agents at this point. We've still got some things we're trying to button up here to add to that total. And, you know, all these guys are guys that have a chance to contribute to this year's club. And by and large, you know, they've got a chance to be part of this thing beyond 2021. So that's something we're excited about.
Whenever you trade a player from a championship team, there's going to be reaction from the fans. You were ready for it. You knew that was coming. It still doesn't make it any easier to go through the process of trading Andrew Benintendi, does it?
No, it doesn't. And look, I, you know, obviously as a competitor, I got to see, you know, from a much more difficult vantage point, a lot of the wonderful things that Andrew's accomplished in his career. And then, you know, got to know him a little bit, having him here. And, you know, that's an easy decision. Don't. Andrew. So that was something we thought was best for the club. That doesn't take anything away from what he did. That doesn't take anything away from what he contributed to that championship. And, you know, those memories and his place in Red Sox history, those things are secure. So that doesn't take away from this going forward. Now, what we're hopeful is that this deal will give us a chance to be, you know, better for a long time to come. You know, by the time this is said and done, we're going to have gotten 5 players back for Andrew. That's a big deal. One of them, Franchy Cordero, is going to be able to step in and contribute right away, and he's got just tremendous talent. We got to keep him on the field, and we got to help him tap into that talent, but it's all there to be an impactful player. And then, you know, we're going to come away with quite a few guys that we think have a chance to help us build that sustainable championship contender that we're working towards.
I've heard the word tantalizing when we talk about Franchi Cordero more than a few times. We've seen the speed, the triples a couple straight years there in the minors. We've seen the raw power. What will it take for Franchi Cordero to harness all of that and become an everyday baseball player at the major league level?
I think the first thing is really health. I mean, you look at his major league career, and he just hasn't been able to be out there for significant chunks of the major league. And a lot of that is due to a series of injuries, you know, many of which you wouldn't expect to repeat. And so we're hoping we can keep him healthy. The talent is really considerable. This guy can run, and he's really, really strong. He hits the ball as hard as anybody in the big league. So he has a chance to be a contributor on both sides of the baseball. The approach, certainly, the more we can cut down on the swing and miss, the better that's going to be. In a small sample last summer, he showed some very encouraging signs. We're hopeful we can tap into that. And we believe from the research we've done on who Franchi is, that we have the right type of person to continue to work and get better and to be able to tighten up some of those issues.
Yeah, Chaim, there's been so much talk about the long-term rebuilding process, right? All the young players, the prospects you've been getting. I think there's been sort of not enough attention for the guys you're bringing in who can help now. Cordero's one of them. Obviously, Kike Hernandez and Marwin Gonzalez on the pitching side. You've got Richards and injuries and Ottavino. Do you feel that maybe that's being overlooked, that for all the long-term work, this should be a better team in 2021?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we're making those moves, we can't worry too much about how, you know, whether it's going to be overlooked or underlooked or looked at just right. You know, we were looking at it as we know in 2020 exposed this. This is a club that needed more depth. And so there were a lot of needs that we had to fill. And so we could have gone out this offseason and done one or two things that would have made much bigger splashes and maybe been much more gratifying in the moment. But the fact that we're able to add so many players that we feel have a chance to contribute really just shows how many needs we had. And so by addressing it this way and bringing in a number of different guys, hopefully placing a bunch of different bets that have a chance to be smart bets, not just for 21, but beyond, you know, we were able to address that. But there's no question, you know, all these guys that we brought in have shown that they can contribute in the major leagues, and we're looking forward to them adding to our club and also adding to our clubhouse and the culture that should get a big boost with Alex Cora coming back.
You know, established pitchers, but also depth. And we talked, you know, Tanner Houck, Nick Pivetta, you got guys who did well last year, are going to be fighting for a spot on this staff. And Andries, who's probably in the bullpen, but can start, 50 career starts. You know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we talked so much about a Brian Johnson and a Hector Velazquez as being really important parts of this team. Do you feel you've got that sixth, seventh, eighth? I know you need more than that, but those guys who are ready to step in immediately if needed.
Yeah, we should be in a dramatically better position this year than we were last year. You know, obviously we need these guys to get to the starting gate healthy. That's always a risk as you go into spring training with any club. But that just speaks to the need to have, you know, so many of them. And clearly last year we did not have enough. And then coming into the season, you know, we knew we were a little thin, and then we the injury bug got us and COVID got us. And so we had to add to that, and we have, and we're going to continue to look to augment it. But, you know, we feel that we are in a dramatically better position than we were, both because of the outside acquisitions and then some guys who showed what they did at the end of last season, like Houck and Pivetta, that stepped in and, in Houck's case, stepped up and showed that they deserve major league opportunity.
You mentioned Alex Cora. He loves versatility. Kike Hernandez, Marwin Gonzalez, two of the more versatile players, and you bring them both in. I know one was his bat boy when he was like 8 years old, Kike Hernandez, and he's got the history with Gonzalez. But how much was Alex Cora involved in shaping some of these moves in this team?
It's been great to just have all the baseball conversation that I and our whole group have been able to have with Alex over the course of the winter. His engagement in this process of building the roster and also his engagement in some cases directly with some of these players has been huge. And, you know, you talk about, you know, the versatility that some of these players add. And, you know, I've seen it described in some cases as it creates work for the manager. Well, I guess in some sense that's true, but not for a baseball rat like Alex. He just is going to look at it as more ways to win a baseball game. He's going to look at it as that versatility makes us that much harder to beat because he can do pretty much anything he wants during a game, substitution wise, and make it work. And if somebody needs a day or somebody's going to be out for a week or two, then you can move some pieces around and make it fit in ways that if you had a less flexible club, you can't. So I think when you have someone, you know, who has the ability to use those pieces and who sees the game the way Alex does, you're just giving him more weapons. And that's what we tried to do this winter.
I'll ask you finally here and quickly, Chaim, but before you try to beat the AL East, you got to try to beat COVID and just get this season off and running. It looks like another daunting list of protocols. You've had a chance to digest it now at least a few days. How do you frame this with your team, and how difficult will it be for all of Major League Baseball to try to keep this going here with travel now and a regular schedule ahead?
Yeah, we learned last summer, obviously, it's not easy. And so much credit goes to our medical staff and also our field staff and players for not having a positive test after intake. So on one hand, that gives you confidence you can do it. On the other hand, it just goes to show how difficult it is. We all know how difficult it was, how grueling it was. And at the same time, we recognize, look, we are really lucky to get to do this. The world is so different right now. Over the past year, there have been so many people, including so many of our fans, whose lives have been impacted, whether through the illness itself or whether through what that's done to people's ability to work. And we get to go have a baseball season. And that's an incredible privilege. So it's on us to do it right. It's on us to do all the right things, to preach the right things. And what we told our players last year, which I think we're going to reaffirm this year, a lot of this is a teammate contest. You want guys to be good teammates on the field? Well, now we have ways that we can keep each other healthy and be good teammates away from the field. And the group that does that well is going to give itself the best chance to win.
Hi, we thank you for the distraction, and we thank you for the time. We're looking forward to the baseball season. Thanks.
It's good to see you, Tom. Thanks.
So again, Benintendi, it's never easy. You go in a 53-week span from maybe the greatest outfield in Red Sox history of Bradley, Betts, and Benintendi, and they're all gone 53 weeks later. Are you surprised Jackie Bradley Jr. hasn't signed anywhere yet?
Not really, because you're signing a defensive player, in my opinion. There's very little offense that, is going on with Jackie over the last few years that would make him tantalizing, I think, to a lot of clubs. Now, you mix in just average offense, and he's already gone. He's gone somewhere because of his glove. But I'm not surprised. He's hanging out there. I have no idea what he's looking for, length of contract, money-wise. But I don't think it's on the table for him anywhere right now. And that's why he's still out there. And I don't anticipate seeing him back here. I don't think anybody's leaning in that direction. They still say we're in contact with him. I think that's probably in a case where he can't get the type of deal that he wants. And okay, I'll come back here on a 1 or 2 year deal and I'll take my chances again, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. And I just don't think, I think for, what he may be looking for, length of contract, you're really paying for a defensive player is what you're paying for, because you can't, how can you realistically count on a lot offensively from him? Now, he did show signs. I will say this. He showed signs last year, the second half of the season, which is a small sample, but finally being able to use the opposite field. And he found his batting average go up. He found his home runs going up. And it was so frustrating to watch him for a number of years, just pull, ground ball a second, and just ignore the other side of the field. And, when he started to do it, the results started to come and he went, wow, this is the kind of hitter he could possibly be. Now, hopefully wherever he goes, wherever he may end up, he continues with that and becomes that kind of player, a two-way player.
Yeah, Scott Boras is going to be trying to nail down a big deal. That's what we keep hearing. It'll be interesting. I bet he ends up in somewhere we never even, Arizona or Cleveland or Seattle, just somewhere you never even expected.
Yeah, that's usually what happens at this time of year. It really does.
Right.
I mean, we've heard so much about the Mets for how many, 4 weeks now? Nothing's happened.
And now they just signed Kevin Pillar as well as the other guy they signed last week. So unlikely he goes there. Well, there you go. Another episode flies by. Next week, Jerry, we'll have pictures of guys playing baseball under palm trees. Won't that be beautiful? And you'll be right there, and I'll be right here. But that's okay.
I've got to decide what color T-shirt to wear next week.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that'll be the thing. We'll look for your T-shirt each week. Well done, Rem, as always. Appreciate the time.
All right, TC.
He's Jerry Remy. I'm Tom Garen. This is another edition of the TC and Jerry podcast. Thanks for listening or watching. We'll see you again next week.